one thing we know that has changed dramatically, Carol, is travel. We haven't been doing much of it. I'm about to get on a plane for the first time this weekend in months and months. And I think people want to know how it's all going to work. So let's check in with Janine Iannarelli. She is founder and president of Par Avion, joining us from Houston, Texas. Janine, really nice to have you with us. Let's start, if we can, talk to me about Houston. What's going on there? What does it feel like? What does it look like on the ground?
Looks like any other summer that I've had or seen in the past year. It really defies what you perhaps are hearing or seeing on the news. You know, I live in the center of Houston. I'm active in the community. Okay, have I curtailed my going out and about? Yes, certainly. But the city still feels vibrant and active, and of course, with all the precautionary measures that have been recommended being taken by the citizens.
Wow. So wait a minute. All right, we need to unpack that a little bit. So are you saying in terms of, I mean, because it's hard for us to ignore, I have a lot of relatives, certainly in Texas, and so been watching the headlines and the virus cases and, you know, the handling of it. So it's been tough. But are you saying in terms of your business, nothing's changed?
Well, that's a very good question, because we were just analyzing this morning, what does this summer look like in comparison to other summers? And I would have to say that, if anything, my business has gotten busier. Mm. Okay, are we completing more transactions? Not quite yet, but it's summer. And summer, historically, in the aircraft sales world is very, very slow. And again, the discussion that I was having this morning with a couple clients and as well with my associates is that we think that people are conducting themselves as they would any other time in August, and that is, it's vacation time. Now, that vacation may be a staycation, but they're honoring to themselves and to their family that time that they need to refresh. And so they're disconnecting, and hence, we're sitting back kind of waiting for Labor Day now.
Right. All right, so remind us about your business, and also remind us about the whole business of private travel, because I think too often, and I've been guilty of this, even though I feel like I know enough to be dangerous about your business, that we think of private jets and we immediately go to the richest of the rich, billionaires, and, you know, having their own plane, jetting around the world. It is a much more nuanced and complicated and complex business than that. Tell us about what you do.
Oh, it absolutely is more complex, and it actually covers a broader cross-section of the population than most people might realize. So to answer your first question as to what does Par Avion do, we are aircraft brokers, and basically we represent the buyers and sellers of both business and private aircraft. We work globally, though I'm headquartered here in Houston, Texas. It is global in scope. The sweet spot for my particular business is cross-border transactions, primarily conducted between Europe and the United States. And our area of expertise lends itself to mid-size, super mid-size, and large cabin long-range aircraft. The private business aviation sector of the travel industry is much as you would imagine by the name private plane. It's generally small aircraft relative to commercial aircraft in size that seat anywhere from 5 to 15 passengers. We categorize them in small, mid-size, super mid-size, large, and ultra-large long-range airplanes. The configuration is usually set by the OEM, though certainly individual owners, as they spec out an aircraft at the time of delivery, can order it customized. But most people stick to a general rule of thumb, a general floor plan. And the idea is to help facilitate the movement of people in an expeditious fashion. I mean, an aircraft is a time machine, and that's why you see it so popular among corporations, both public and privately held, is because it gives them something. It lets them maximize the use of their time, and it actually gives them time back.
Well, this is what, I got to ask you, because I was actually having a conversation with another owner of a private jetliner earlier today, and works globally. Are you seeing more companies, because we've talked about business travel kind of being dead and not happening for a while, but I am curious, you know, where have you seen changes in the trends of your business? Are more companies using a service like yours because they want to get executives around the world, but they don't want to put them on commercial jets? What's changed?
things that I've become privy to and a couple things that I've realized. One, the number of inquiries that we've had from first-time buyers grew exponentially in the month of June. Hmm. You know, I think we had more calls in June than we did all of last year. And it's not as if these first-time buyers are novices in the sense of no idea. They've had some experience. They perhaps have rode on someone else's airplane. They've had the benefit of travel with maybe a company, or they've chartered themselves. And the questions that are being put to us is obviously revolving around cost. They're trying to get a handle on what is the initial capital investment, what is the ongoing cost of operation, and what can they look at in terms of a five-year budget for that operation. So that is something quite new for us. And I play the long game, as they say. I don't try to rush people to judgment. And so we're very happy to field calls like that, and we nurture them. And in my career, what I have found that sometimes that nurturing process can last a few months or a few years. It just depends at what point in time they're ready. The change in our lifestyle, in our world, has accelerated that nurturing curve, if you will. And we're finding people are coming and saying, okay, how long would it take to get into an airplane from the time I make my first inquiry to us actually identifying and then completing the purchase? That's new.
Right.
As far as companies themselves, among some of my corporate clientele, they've advised me that they've returned to robust travel schedules. You know, that might be 70% to 80% of what they were doing year over year. It all is tied to what...
On private jets, I'm assuming, or commercial?
Yes. Yeah. No, private. In fact, one company said to me the other day that part of their corporate travel policy is that no commercial airline travel. At this time. And so that's increased use of their existing fleet of aircraft because they are expanding within the corporation who has access to the airplane. And, you know, it differs from company to company. It's not an elitist sort of statement that I'm trying to make. It's more practical in terms of efficiency and whose demands really need that time machine in order to complete whatever task they're working on.
So, Janine, talk to us. I mean, look ahead, and as you pointed out, I mean, you're in the business of the long game, and I do wonder, as we think about the costs sort of converging in some ways, we do think commercial air travel is going to go up in cost by all accounts just because of everything that's going on with commercial air travel overall. It does feel like there has been a trend generally, and you know better than I, of the cost of private travel coming down. How close will those costs get over the next few years?
Well, travel by private jet has been splintered into many different means of doing so over the last couple decades. I mean, you have the option right at the top of the pyramid to own your own aircraft.
Right.
That gives you the ultimate control in your travel schedule, so on and so forth. As you work your way down from that, you have options such as fractional shares, jet club memberships, charter. And there will be an increase, or an advent, I should say, of being able to sell seats on an airplane. Though I'm not sure that that will fly just yet. It's really having access to the airplane, exclusive access.
Yeah.
So the other options provide you that.
Well, it's interesting. You know, we've talked to this whole idea of, and I think about this in everything I do, touch points, right? And that's the difference between a commercial where there are hundreds of touch points if you go and fly a commercial jet versus if you do a private jet, and especially, like you said, if you own the jet and you're not sharing, it's not a fractional ownership, the touch points are reduced dramatically.
Or
and
even
so
if you have exclusive use to, you know, I mean, you could feel fairly good if you're, if just your people essentially are going to be on that plane for the duration of a journey. It certainly starts to make more sense. And presumably, as you said, Janine, if companies are trying to get back to where they were, that becomes a more attractive option.
Absolutely. When you have your own aircraft, you control the narrative. And with the airlines, they do. In terms of everything, access to the aircraft, the hygiene and cleanliness, and the cost. mean, you absolutely can expect commercial airline travel costs to increase. This is going to happen for one of two reasons. Load factors are low, or when they finally achieve some sort of passenger load balance, they're going to feel empowered to start raising the price.
Hey, Janine, just one last question before we wrap up. Do you have enough planes to meet demand?
I would say the market overall does at this particular moment. But then again, our buyers are getting very, very selective. They're narrowing their choices down based on the age of the aircraft, the total time. Cosmetics are almost secondary because those are easily fixed. But you can't buy back time once you spend it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, an interesting window into what's going on in terms of private jets.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you think about the decisions that companies are going to be making, where they allocate costs and where they are willing to spend money that maybe they weren't before, you think about spending less on real estate and maybe you start to think about different places where you're going to spend that money. Our thanks to Janine Iannarelli. She is founder and president of Par Avion, based there in Houston, Texas. Also interesting to hear that certainly for a certain set, that life seems relatively normal. And I think, you know, if you talk to folks around the country, they might say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was funny talking with this array of CEOs. Depending on the business, some of them are busy, you know, and business hasn't really, you know, it hasn't really skipped a beat. And I just think about with Rob LoCascio, who we talked about, and he said they had one of their best quarters ever, right? Or the best quarter ever.
Although I have to say, I was pretty stunned at what he said about basically, we're not going back. Like, we have made the decision, because I think both you and I was like, oh, you're not going back yet.
That's what I wanted to clarify.
We're not going back.
Yeah.
We're not going back to the office, full stop. And I do wonder, but it also goes to this idea of, do you make your costs around travel? Do you make your costs around real estate much more variable, essentially, and say, look, we need to get together as a team for the next 6 months or 3 months. We're going to work on a project together. We're going to get some office space. We're going to figure that out.
We're going to use WeWork. Wouldn't that
totally
be like the wild savior of WeWork in some weird way?
Well, and I do think the locations are going to change too. And, you know, I think I've told you about this development that's happening over in Stamford, Connecticut, which is, you know, in many ways like a suburban type of setup, but with an urban feel. It's right there on the waterfront. It's being developed by an entrepreneur, and he's got a lot of interest of people coming in who say, yeah, maybe I'll go into the city a couple days a week or occasionally, but I want a place a little closer by that I can go and have meetings and do work. Like, this idea of being flexible. And look, private jets and flying private is a whole other aspect of that in many ways, but things change.
I don't know, Jason. Like, I feel like this hybrid, you know, kind of work relationship, I feel like we don't know until we are through this. And if we get to a point where we can all feel safe, will companies say, you want to work here? You got to be in our offices.
I think you and I may have slightly different opinions on this.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how companies, you know, it's not even my opinion. I just wonder if companies will ultimately say, once the environment is safer, whether or not they can pressure their workers to come back.
Yeah, I think companies who try and do that aren't going to do well. I think what's coming up from this generation is sort of not going to put up with it.